and welcome to episode 41 of React Native Radio. I'm your host, Nader Davitt. Today we're going to be speaking with Eric Rozell of Microsoft, and we're going to be kind of talking about React Native for Windows. So Eric, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Nader.
Yes, I guess to kick it off, can you kind of go into a little bit about yourself and how you got into programming and then how you began working with Windows and Microsoft?
Yeah, so let's see, getting started programming. So I didn't go to school thinking that I wanted to do programming, but eventually, I think within 2 years, it was something that I was mostly interested in. You know, the mathematics course that I was taking in school, because I was a math major, had primarily been applied mathematics, and the classes that I enjoyed the most were computer science. You know, it was kind of a boring way of moving into computer science, but ultimately ended up doing that. And then, you know, shortly after, while I was in college, I was in a PhD program for a while. And during that, I started doing some internships at Microsoft, Microsoft Research, which moved over. We had some good relationships with a product group that I wanted to work with while I was in MSR. And I turned into another internship, and one thing led to another. And now I'm a full-time employee at Microsoft. Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. So I guess concerning React Native in particular, so how is your involvement on that project and how did that come about at Microsoft?
Yeah, so about a year and a half ago now, I joined a team at Microsoft called Developer Experiences. We're a subset of that team. We focus on technology evangelism and development. Primarily, our role is unblocking partners in key technologies, or, you know, what we like to think of as some of their hardest problems. And, you know, that can range from, you know, that can range from anything. It can be problems with cloud deployments. It can be problems with client development. You know, it runs a gamut of different technologies. And one of the interest areas that we were working in at the time was client development. And we were working with a partner called Guide Dogs in the UK, building an application called Soundscape. And it's a kind of a research and development tool aimed at helping visually impaired people navigate through a city and orientate themselves in a city using 3D sound and sort of other augmented reality type features. So as you can imagine, it's a lot of client development, and we were building it initially for three different platforms, iOS, Android, and Windows. And on each platform, because it was such sort of a thick client and an augmented reality experience, we decided we wanted to do it like sort of in the native code space for each of those different platforms. But as you would imagine, lots of different problems with that. You know, when you're writing features, it's testing three times, fixing bugs three times, and then sort of it's exponential with your feature set, right? As your feature set grows, it's you know, sort of the sort of test coverage that you have to get is outrageous. So yeah, we decided to start looking into different cross-platform approaches, and React Native was one that we had also had interest from other partners just approach us before and say, you know, hey, we've been using this for iOS, starting to use it for Android, and it's great. And what are the possibilities that we could use it for Windows Mobile? So initially we started building React Native Windows almost exclusively as a way to port iOS and Android apps over to Windows 10 Mobile.
So for that project, did you guys explore any other options other than React Native, such as like Cordova or even Xamarin?
Yeah, we had a lot of different. So we had a few developers on the team, and everybody kind of picked a different piece to look into. I think, I don't remember, there wasn't sort of, it was during the React Native Windows investigation that we also, when we started looking into React Native, it was obvious that one of the first things we would need to do is make sure it could work on Windows. So ultimately, the project didn't end up using the cross-platform approach, primarily just because we decided, being a R&D tool, we wanted to sort of focus on iOS for a while. But yeah, so anyway, but we had already started this investigation, and we had other partners that were interested, and so we kind of kept the work going on React Native Windows anyway, even though we weren't using it for that specific project.
Okay, that's interesting. So like, I guess as far as actually getting it to work on Windows, like, how hard was that? Was it like very difficult experience? And in addition to that, like, what features were available when you first kind of got the first prototype working?
Well, I mean, like the first, we did the, we took sort of the MVP approach of getting, or maybe even the garden hose approach, right? You want to see the first thing go end to end before you start building out the features from there. So, you know, obviously the first thing that we built was basically a the only views we supported were a canvas and some text in that canvas. So yeah, so we built like sort of the whole bridge and the threading model and the UI manager and all that stuff, got that sort of core infrastructure in place, and then just started with those first two view managers and not really any of the core native modules for it or anything. And actually, when we first started, so there wasn't necessarily the ability to include new platforms easily. So when we started out, just basically using the iOS compiled bundle and just applying that. That ran into a whole slew of problems down the road, as you can imagine, because we had no options for, you know, we could overwrite the iOS specific logic, but then obviously we broke the iOS scenarios. But yeah, it was probably around mid-February or so, 2 months into the project, we started looking heavily into like, okay, how do we get the bundler working with new platforms? We worked with the guys who build Node Haste, which is a tool for bundling up platform-specific code and sort of doing a static analysis of your code base and pulling all of your JavaScript requirements together or your JavaScript files together. And so we got that unblocked, we got the CLI, and then we needed to get the CLI unblocked to also support another platform. And that was, yeah, somewhere around 2 months or so. And I think that was one of the more interesting parts initially of how do we get this working for more platforms? Because when we were doing it, we weren't just thinking about how do we get this working for Windows. We were thinking like, okay, there's a lot of other people who are also proposing new platforms, right? There's macOS and Ubuntu and tvOS, and Tizen was interested at the time. And so we were saying, how do we make this scale? What's the right way to do this in a scalable way so that it's a more democratic platform and everybody can kind of participate?
So is that kind of the Windows approach or the Microsoft approach for React Native? Like, is this platform going to be something that people can extend to other platforms? Or is that just how you kind of came to get the actual Windows version working? Like, are you guys going to basically be open sourcing another platform as well that will let people extend into other platforms?
No, I don't think that was our primary goal for doing that. Really, it was just that, you know, if we're contributing to open source, we want to contribute to open source in a way that's useful for people than just ourselves. We don't want to, you know, we're investing time. It's not that much extra effort to do this the right way, to do it with the right architecture. And, you know, that's kind of the story behind that.
Yeah, definitely. That's really cool. So it took you guys about 2 months to get that MVP working. Like, how many people
I think it was like, it was about 2 weeks or two or 3 weeks to get the MVP, like the MVP working. It was about 2 months before we started actually thinking, you know, how do we do this for real and have a Windows, you know, have options for Windows specific components and all these other things.
Okay. So like, how many people did you guys have working on it at the time? And how many people do you all have working on it now?
Well, at the time we had just two of us that were kind of prototyping on it and hacking on it in our spare time. Our team is really flexible in terms of if there's interesting open source projects that we want to work on, we have that option to spend some of our time working on those things. So there was two. And then after we got kind of that, those first 2 months out of the way, we started planning like what was the next thing that we were going to do. And so we met with part of the React team in Mountain View at Facebook, and we came up with the idea that we would try to build, well, we worked together on the F8 developer conference app that was open source back in April. And so we got early access to that source code. And the idea was just that we were going to go ahead and figure out how to get that working, even just a subset of that app working on Windows. So at that point, we upped it to, I think three of us were working on it pretty much full time, maybe 80% time. And we worked on that for about a month, getting everything ready to release the app for Windows 10 Mobile. And I think that was really cool because we actually didn't get the source code for, let's see, we didn't get the source code. We had about 3 weeks before F8 when we got it. And we were able to sort of in that time span, and this is, you know, sort of a tribute to how great React Native is for doing this kind of cross-platform development. In the 3 weeks time, go and backfill all the missing native modules that we needed, fill in the missing components that we needed, and got about, I would say, 90% of the application functionality, maybe 95%.
Oh, wow.
In a short period of time with a really early version of the Windows platform for React Native.
So I guess backtracking a little bit, you told me that you guys are working on other stuff as well. Like, can you talk about the team that you're on and kind of what your day-to-day is, you know, before this project came along, and like just kind of what you all do in general?
Yeah, so I think our sort of MO is this concept of a hackfest, where when, you know, we go around to different partners and find out what their most challenging problems are, or different technologies that they're blocked on, whether those are related to Azure or Windows 10 or, you know, sort of anything for that matter, a lot of different technologies that we work on at Microsoft. And then we kind of find out what their harder problems are. We pitch that to people throughout our team and we say, hey, these guys are blocked on such and such. We need a few experts in machine learning, or we need a few experts in whatever. And we're going to go visit them and have a hackfest for a week. And, you know, throughout that week, try to solve their problems. And that's kind of the, like, our goal is that we can get something done in a week. Sometimes those week-long hackfests turn into 1 month, 2 month, 3 month engagements where we're sort of working on a deeper problem. Maybe that includes feedback to our product teams to get them unblocked and things like that. So it's really flexible, kind of our, you know, ultimately we want to ship open source projects out of this. That's our key goal, like between product feedback and, you know, contributions to open source. And that's, yeah, that's about it.
It sounds like a really fun place to work. You guys hiring? No, seriously, that sounds awesome. Yeah. So I guess another question might be, what is kind of the motivation for, I know you kind of talked about your company, or at the time you guys were trying to build a cross-platform app and this seemed like a viable thing. But as far as putting all these resources to building React Native for Windows, is this something that the company feels is going to be a viable solution for future app development? So people are already building these apps for iOS and Android. They might be able to just take 90% of their code and touch it up a little bit and then publish it to the Windows platform. Is that kind of the motivation behind this?
I mean, I would say, like, I would try to mostly speak for myself and my own opinion. So it's you know, I want to make sure it's clear that, you know, my opinions aren't necessarily Microsoft's opinions. But, you know, if you look around at a lot of the companies that are doing things like in the space that Microsoft does in terms of building developer tools, you can't ignore the fact that, you know, React Native has a ton of momentum right now, right? Like there's a lot of open source energy and momentum behind it. And so, you know, in general, when we see these things come up in open source, it, you know, we try to do what we can to be in the space that developers want to be, right? We want to kind of, you know, meet them halfway in some way. If they're willing to come to the Windows platform by building, you know, if as long as they can build their apps in the way that they want to using React Native, then we'll sort of try to meet them halfway and do that. The same goes for, you know, other platforms that we've made contributions to, like Cordova. It's not to say that, like, we're going after every possible open source technology out there. It's just that, you know, in general, it makes sense in some cases to make these kind of contributions. And, you know, the platform itself isn't the only sort of space that Microsoft is getting interested in React Native through, right? Like, we're also building tools for Visual Studio Code, for plugins for React Native, for, you know, time travel debugging and other cool things like that. And as well as Code Push, and of course, you know, Hot and all the other kind of mobile technologies that are really useful for sort of shipping and developer lifecycle and, you know, CI and things like that as well.
In terms of React Native for Windows, so is the plan to get to, like, feature parity with, like, the current React? Do you plan on, like, implementing things on your own too and, like, trying out different things? Not sure if you guys just talked about this before I jumped on, but any sort of ideas as to where you want this to go down the road?
Yeah, well, so it's kind of funny. I gave a talk at React Next 2 weeks ago, and part of that talk, I talked about specifically what you're asking, kind of the kind of feature parity and how that applies to new platforms as they come online for React Native. Sort of the way that I started in that conversation was, like, what is the definition of parity? And I think there's, you know, at least four, probably more different layers when it comes to asking, like, is there parity for a particular platform in React Native? And then, you know, kind of the innermost, deepest layer is just, do you have a cross-platform bridge that can sort of send messages between your native view system, whether that's a DOM or XAML or whatever, and some JavaScript engine that's running React? It's kind of the next level up is component parity, component and module parity, saying, like, do you have a view and images and text input and all these other things? Above that would be, you know, tools priority? Can I have the same developer lifecycle, the same set of tools that I like to use when I'm developing iOS? Can I use those to develop for Android and Windows and any other platform in React Native? And then finally, like the third party parity, which is really out of scope for any team building a core platform plugin for React Native, because there's so many third party modules out there, and you know, you can only scale so far, maybe the top 10, top 50, whatever modules you can maybe help and submit pull requests for and get those working on your platform. But for the long tail of components that people are going to want to be using, you obviously can't get there. So, you know, I think to kind of answer the question of, are we going for parity? I think absolutely in terms of, you know, we want people to be able to quickly and easily bring iOS and Android apps to Windows 10 mobile, just because I think when you have low market share, that's one of the easiest ways to get apps to your platform. But for other form factors and device families like desktop and Xbox and other things that you can use UWP for, and now even React Native for Windows for, the parity question gets a little bit interesting, because at a certain point, the kinds of components and core modules and things like that that make sense to have running on a mobile device don't necessarily make sense when you're running them on a desktop or on an Xbox. You need a completely different user experience there. And there's a lot of numbers out there where people have talked about how they get 85, 90, 95% code sharing for React Native. And I just don't think that necessarily applies when you're talking about building for completely different user experiences.
Oh yeah, totally. I agree with you on that too. I've been one of those people that actually have strived to reuse like as much as possible, and there's like a certain point where the opportunity cost isn't worth it anymore for me, at least.
Yeah, and I think, you know, even within the mobile platforms, you know, as new features come onto these different operating systems, you know, iOS and Android, like you want to be able to take advantage of the latest and greatest features, and you don't want to sort of, whenever you have a cross-platform abstraction, I think the problem is you have to kind of take the least common denominator of the behaviors that work across both platforms in one way or another. And a lot of times, you know, users expect not least common denominator behavior. They want you to be leveraging the latest and greatest on iOS 10 and whatever the latest version of Android is at this point.
So as far as the involvement with the React Native team, does your team discuss what you were doing at the time with the React Native team, or do you kind of just keep up with the releases and try to interact with them through some other form?
So early on, it was really important that we interacted with them. You know, their team was really responsive and great in terms of connecting us with the right people at the right time. You know, there were a lot of issues in the beginning that I was kind of alluding to earlier with the Node Haste stuff and being able to sort of easily get new platforms plugged into the React Native CLI and things like that. They were absolutely critical then. And then, you know, at one point it was Martin Konacek. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name wrong. Sorry, Martin. Pointed us to the guys who are building RNPM, which I think you mentioned that Mike is sometimes on these radio shows, right? Mike Grabowski.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, so he pointed us in their direction and said, like, they have this really great tool for doing CLI plugins. You should take a look at that when you're building out your Windows CLI, because we're actually thinking about integrating it into the React Native CLI, like proper in the core React Native repo. So yeah, we started engaging with them and sort of basically dumped our feature list onto them and said, like, hey, these are all the things that we need in order to play nice with the React Native CLI and get sort of a almost have it feel like a first class experience for Windows when you install, you know, the RNPM plugin or whatever. And they were super responsive and super helpful. So it's not just the, you know, so the core React Native team, but also the community that's surrounding it as well. That's been really great and helpful in getting us started and unblocked.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you know, Microsoft in general over the last couple of years has been doing some really awesome stuff as far as open source is concerned. Have you been working, like, how long have you been with Microsoft? Were you there during this transition from, you know, less open to more open?
Not as an FTE. I had a couple internships a ways back, but yeah, no, I think they've been great, as you know, the whole time that I've been there. You know, I've always thought they were great. That's why I kind of joined the team. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, and then the opportunity for someone like me who doesn't understand Windows development at all, someone that does a lot of consulting for companies building cross-platform applications. Really, most of my clients now want web, iOS, Android, and a few are now wanting Windows. So, you know, React Native just gives me the opportunity to be able to do that, where before I would just be like, no, I can't do it. So I think it's awesome for the Windows platform and also for developers, companies, and the community in general.
So when it comes to React Native at Microsoft, what's like the dynamic between teams? Do you spend time with a lot of the other teams that have given React Native a shot already? How does that all come together?
I mean, I personally haven't spent a ton of time with those teams. I obviously interact with them when we were getting ready for F8. We wanted to see how close we could get to getting code push, because actually the F8 app featured code push in it. You know, they were trying to highlight all of the really key features that the community seemed to be using, and code push was one of those. So we were like, yeah, of course we want to get code push working for Windows. You know, I just kind of reached out. You know, we all kind of know each other through email chains and things like that, but kind of it's more of an ad hoc. It's a lot more ad hoc than you'd think. It's like, if you need something or if something breaks for code push on Windows, like, I'll reach out. Or if one of us is giving a talk somewhere, we want to make sure we're not sort of, and you know, actually recently that was a little bit different. Like at React Next, we had somebody giving a talk on TypeScript and somebody giving it, and myself giving a talk on Windows. But yeah, we would obviously try to coordinate and not overlap on things that we're covering. But yeah, mostly ad hoc right now.
So if someone wants to get started with React Native Windows, what do they need to do and what kind of operating system do they need to have and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think the Windows 10 SDK should work with Windows 8 and higher. So you'll need the Windows 10 SDK. And right now there's still a dependency on Visual Studio 2015 that we're trying to eliminate with the CLI and everything kind of being powered from the CLI. In theory, all you need is MS Build, which comes with the Windows 10 SDK. And actually, I think in general, it's available on Windows machines. But so yeah, we're trying to eliminate the Visual Studio requirement, but Visual Studio 2015 community and Windows 8 or Windows 10 right now. Once you do that, if you have an existing React Native app that you want to just kind of plug Windows into, or if you want to start from scratch, either way, you would just install the rnpm-plugin-windows, and that'll expose new CLI commands for you, one in particular being the React Native space Windows command, which generates the Windows project and also exposes additional commands like run Windows, and we're working on log Windows and other things like that.
So I guess there's like a Windows emulator, like there's an iOS emulator or simulator, and then there's the Android. Is that something that's kind of built into a Windows environment? I have never done any development. That's why I'm asking.
Well, that's another reason why you would probably want to install Visual Studio 2015 community, because it becomes really easy to install the emulators that run on Hyper-V for mobile. There's also emulators for all the other for a lot of the other things. There's an emulator out there for HoloLens. If you want to do desktop development, obviously you just deploy to desktop. There's no need for an emulator or anything like that. And then there's also some great tutorials out there right now for getting you set up to deploy to Xbox and things like that for UWP as well.
Is there any plans to sort of merge this into Xamarin down the road, or using some of the same components and tooling that Xamarin uses with React Native for Windows or whatever else you have in store for us?
There aren't any formal plans, no, but I have toyed around with that idea a lot. The idea that, you know, Xamarin is a way to get C# and .NET running on iOS and Android. And also there's another really great set of tools from the same group of people. I think it's called XWT. And it's basically a way of using C# and .NET to write desktop apps for Mac OS, Linux, and Windows as well. So yeah, I had kind of thought about, well, we already have sort of a core bridge working in .NET. How easy would it be to make that portable and kind of build the core UI manager and pieces to sort of get maybe a React Native XWT or React Native Xamarin iOS and Android. Like, I don't know, in a pipe dream of mine, we could have a whole, we could have the whole iOS, Android, and Windows running on a .NET core. I doubt that that'll happen anytime soon, but sorry, going back to what I just said, iOS, Android, and Windows for React Native running on a .NET core. But yeah, that's obviously a pipe dream. I also need to give a shout out to Matt Hargett, and who's been doing a lot of work on actually kind of planting the seeds for this. He's been working on building out a portable library for the React Native core bridge for Windows, and that would be kind of the foundations on which we would build those kind of things. But yeah, no official plans or formal plans to really do that.
So what are the future plans for React Native Windows? Like, would you guys have like a roadmap, or do you plan on bringing more people onto the team, or maybe reducing the size of the team, or, you know, just any kind of information about like what your future plans are?
So in the meantime, moving forward, we'll be working on keeping up with issues and bugs as they get filed on GitHub, as people are building apps for React Native Windows and they're finding missing features and components and modules that they want to see that they're seeing on iOS and Android that are working great. You know, obviously file issues for those, and we'll do our best to commit resources and get those things implemented. And then also, you know, we're going to be continuing to keep up with the releases of React Native as new features come online there, as sort of changes in the core bridge and whatnot are made, so that in the core JavaScript libraries are made. We'll be keeping up with those as well. That's kind of the plans for now, really, is just keep moving with the train. The React Native train moves fast, and we got to move fast to keep up with it.
And the stuff you're working on right now is open source. So if someone like me, you know, wanted to pitch in, would I be able to just submit a pull request?
Absolutely. We get a few pull requests trickling in here and there. I'd love to see more pull requests trickling in. You know, the more the merrier, in my opinion. I think React Native has a great community, and if we could get even a quarter of the support that I think React Native has right now, we'd be in tremendous shape.
So, like, what would be some of the things that you feel like people would be able to contribute to? Like, someone like myself doesn't know a lot of Windows specific. I don't really know what this is written in. I'm guessing like some C, C sharp, or whatever. I don't really know. But would there be ways for JavaScript developers to contribute, or do you feel like maybe more native specific developers, or just anyone?
I think anybody who's comfortable with either Java or C sharp would be able to contribute pretty easily. I think the best area to start with would be, you know, if you have some apps that you're already building, just see how they work on Windows. Just plug it in and see what breaks or what's missing, and you know, from there that'll really, what we need more than anything, I think, is data on like, what are the key features for people bringing things to Windows? What are the key features that we really need to prioritize? And I think there's some good tools that we should probably get set up out there. Like, I forget which one React Native is using, but it's like a way for them to track like the top features, and people can upvote bugs and things that they want, just because there's really not enough data just in GitHub itself. You can plus one certain things, but it's hard to keep track of that. Just, you know, any of the popular third-party modules that are out there that you would want to use, try them out on Windows, and, you know, let's get these things working.
Yeah, I guess to kind of wrap up, if someone was building their app right now and they're already targeting iOS and Android, do you feel like it's a viable option to go ahead and start targeting Windows? Is the platform kind of ready, or is that kind of a question based on the actual functionality of their app and depending on, you know, what all needs to be done within that?
So I think, you know, it should be a relatively low bar to just get started on Windows. So that's a question best answered by the developer themselves and by the team themselves. If you're interested in building something for Windows and you want to ship something on Windows, absolutely today, install the RNPM plugin, generate your Windows project and test things out and start filing bugs on GitHub, reach out to the @ReactWindows Twitter. However it is that you want to get a hold of us, Twitter or GitHub, or we're also on the React Native Platforms tag on Discord. And I think we're trying to get a tag for Stack Overflow. We haven't quite got it yet. But yeah, so for right now, Twitter, Discord, or GitHub issues are really the best way to reach out. But yeah, just get started. Bring your platform over to Windows, bring your project over to Windows, and try things out.
Awesome. React Windows, Twitter. I have not seen that. I just followed you. That's awesome. That's a really cool, good place to keep up with everything for sure.
Great.
Okay, awesome. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and get to the picks. Eric, do you have any picks this morning?
Yeah, actually, I do have a pick. So I've been reading this book. It's called Seven Eves by Neal Stephenson, and it's super thick. It's like 900 pages. It's fiction, but it's really cool. It's about the moon exploding. It's sci-fi. It's awesome. Go read it. It's cool.
Awesome.
What's it called?
Seven Eves.
Cool. Thank you. I have to get it.
So my pick, I have two picks this week, and they're both blog posts. The first one is a post called Redux or MobX, an attempt to dissolve the confusion. And it's a pretty good breakdown of each and, you know, the pros and cons of each. And I really have been, I'm using Redux in all of my production stuff, but I'm really liking MobX, and I want to use it in something in the future bigger than just playing around with it. So anything I can find about MobX, I've been kind of looking into it, and it's pretty interesting. And it's written by Robin Wyruch, W-I-E-R-U-C-H. And if you just Google Robin Wyruch and maybe even just Google Redux or MobX and attempt to dissolve the confusion, you'll find it. And we'll also link to it in our show notes. The second pick is actually not a blog post, but it's a repo from Eric Elliott, Redux DSM. It's an attempt to use less boilerplate with Redux. And it's a pretty interesting project. It just came out today. Something I would keep an eye on. Okay, well, that wraps up episode 41 of React Native Radio. Eric, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Absolutely. We'll definitely keep in touch, and hopefully in a few months, we'll have you back on and just see where React Native Windows is, if you're available again.
Sounds good. Thanks again.